This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's not just a water sport. I knew it.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
That's us, dude. Tom
Likas. Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me and a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And for our bonus hour this week, we are joined by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam?
Hey, great to be here, Tom, as always.
Good to see you. And I'm going to bring Adam's guest on. I believe we're calling him Jay. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Jay. I got to do a little intro, Tom. It's important.
All right.
One of the things that we talk about on the show a lot is Planned Parenthood, which by its very name is, you know, planning parenthood. And what we actually have, I think, in this world today is forced fatherhood.
Yes.
As we've talked about too many times. And
well, any time the planning begins right before you've had sex, you just don't know about
yeah.
the plan.
The man doesn't know the plan. The woman has the plan.
Right.
So Jay has a very interesting story. And what's unique about Jay is he's older. And he's actually been from the beginning to the end of it. And I've got guys that call me all the time that are just at the beginning part, having lately met the girl and gotten her pregnant. Jay actually went through this, and he's involved with someone who played a trick on him, said she was on birth control and wasn't. Jay, you were a rock and roller, right? You're like a musician?
I was a traveling musician and rock and roller. And,
there you go.
It was the standard, a hot girl gives me her phone number at the end of a show, and the next thing you know.
Sounds like a dream come true.
And
what
so,
could go wrong?
Oh, come on.
But the interesting thing, we're going to wrap up, I want to tell the end before the beginning, but your kid is now an adult in his mid-20s, and I want to talk about the ramifications of what happened. So,
yeah,
back to your story. So you're a rock and roller. This hot chick says, give me a call. And
yep.
You end up fooling around, but she tells you there's nothing to worry about, right? Because she's on the pill, right?
Correct. She's safe. She's on birth control.
Okay. So rule number one, guys, that is not something that we're going to – sorry. That is not a statement that we're going to take too seriously coming from a woman, okay?
Right.
A lot of women have said something even more ridiculous, that the doctor told them that they can't get pregnant, which is –
Really?
You don't know
can that. Can I speak to your doctor? Can I see that in writing?
This guy's number here.
Yeah,
that's what they're made to do.
Somehow or another, women, a lot of especially younger women, don't really think their lady parts are going to work, you know, and somehow they delude themselves. And I think some of them are just outright liars, which is yours, talking about being on the pill when she wasn't. And the law on all of this is very, very clear. Unfortunately,
how do we know she wasn't on the pill, if I may ask?
Well, she got pregnant.
I thought she told you straight.
I'm sorry?
I thought she told you straight later on that she wasn't using anything, that she just, you know, BS'd you about that.
She did not indicate that, but, you know, again, we probably went out together 6 or 7 times.
Right.
And I don't see her for 6 months, and I get a call from her out of
right.
the blue.
That's the
and
classic.
And she says, guess what, I'm pregnant. And I'm like,
right.
why are you telling me? She says, I'm 6 months pregnant.
Right.
So I knew based on the math that it was possible, but, you know, I didn't really know her.
Right.
And so that was the beginning of a very long chain of events that were not very pleasant.
Now, a lot of guys at one time in history, you know, there would have been like a shotgun marriage, right? But
right.
The way we experience it today, a lot of guys get a call half a year later or even a year later. The baby's already born or I'm almost giving birth soon. It's yours. I'm sure it's yours. How did you react to all this?
It was brutal. And, you know, what was worse was she was twisting me out over it. And then she said, number one, she didn't want to have anything to do with me. And she was going to put the baby up for adoption.
Right.
So long story short, she does put him up for adoption. He's adopted 2 weeks later, I get a call. She changed her mind and took the baby back.
Okay, now that's incredible, too. So many guys don't understand this, how little control they have, where the woman either gives it up or doesn't give it up or whatever. And yours is so nutty that she you know, and by the way, a lot of guys tell me this also, what you've said. They call me and they tell me, well, I don't think I'm worried about paying child support or anything because she promised me she's not going to come after me. Or she promised me she was going to give it up for adoption. Or, you know, a lot of women will call the guy very spitefully and say, I don't need your help anyway. Screw you.
That's exactly what I got, that she didn't want to have anything to do with me.
Right.
She wasn't going to put me on the birth certificate. She was putting them up for adoption. It was basically a big fuck you. And then when she changed
her
mind...
And by the way, there's a lot of strange anger. I mean, the women are so angry, and it's like, what did I do?
Right.
Why are you so mad at me?
She was the one jumping in bed and going for a ride, so come on.
I don't know. It's always surprising to me that when the woman does get in touch with the guy, it's with an attitude of tremendous hostility, you know?
Yeah.
And the guy will say, you sure it's mine? And the woman goes berserk, you know?
Right.
How dare you?
Even though it often isn't yours.
What am I, a slut? I can't believe it.
Well, I got to say that, you know, listening to this hour in particular has been so good for me to validate everything I went through.
It's, right.
You know, the smart things I did, the right things I did, and, of course, all the wrong things I did.
So let's talk about it. So talk about a roller coaster. So she gives birth. She gives the kid up for adoption. A few weeks later, she changes her mind, which unbelievably the law allows. Can you imagine?
Right.
I don't know who the people are, but these poor people, they give the kid to them. They start taking care of the kid. They think they're going to finally have a child. They couldn't get pregnant or whatever. They want a baby. And then this bitch says, I changed my mind. And she has a long period of time when she's allowed to do that, varying from state to state. And gets the kid back.
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
what a heartbreak for that family, and how awful for an infant to be passed back and forth
Jesus.
Like that.
I know, like a football, not like a human being at all.
That really tore me up.
Yeah. It's amazing in our court system, the whole conversation is supposed to be about the rights of the child and the best interests of the child, and you see what nonsense that is in reality. And basically you have a crazy woman who's getting whatever she wants.
Well, and then after she takes the kid back, she still upholds that she doesn't want to have anything to do with me.
Right.
And come to find out, she's already tangled up with some other guy that
Naturally.
She wants to play dad.
Right.
And then I get the first letters from the Department of Health and Human Services.
There you
go. She suddenly decided she wanted the money.
Well, you knew that was coming. Any of these women that tell these guys, you know, I don't want to have anything to do, leave me alone, I think you're an asshole, you know, you're not a father, whatever. One way or another, they're still going to want the cash flow, believe it.
Yeah. And so here's where Adam comes in. At the time, one of my friends in my band was in law school, a great guy, and he said, look, if you don't do this right with a lawyer and get the genetic testing and on, you're crazy. This will haunt you the rest of your life and could cost you thousands and thousands and thousands. So I took his advice, and I got a good family law practice guy, and you know, he definitely helped me out, went to court with me, did the paperwork, the whole nine yards. And in the end, if I hadn't done that, it would have cost me tens of thousands of dollars.
Right. So thank God, and this is what we talk about all the time, you invested in a lawyer at the time.
Yep.
And you got it square. But I presume, even though you got the best deal you could and your lawyer helped you, you still paid a lot of child support, right?
You bet.
And you try to, I guess, then get to know your kid, right?
Yep. And, you know, I ended up having a child with my wife. And
all right. So you get married and have even another child on you know, this one planned.
Yeah. Don't beat me up on this one, guys. We're still together after 25 years.
That's great. Listen, I'm happy for you. I'm not going to beat you up. If you found yourself a unicorn, I'm amazed for you. That's great news.
I think she might be Tom's grandmother reincarnated. I'm not sure.
Oh, anything's possible.
But so far, so good.
Well, she's got to be pretty understanding to have this bullshit hanging over you guys, you know?
Right. She wasn't. You know, the day that the old girl called me, I told her, you know, because I had met this person that would later become my wife, and I said, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if he's mine, but I can't keep this from you and have myself, you know what I mean? Like, it would have been a setup for a horrible thing. So she was very accepting and kind of lived through it with me. And when our son was about 4 and a half, you know, we started seeing more of my 26-year-old, and, you know, finally, like, I talked his mother into saying, look, it's in his best interest if he lives with me half the time and you, because I could see how unstable she was and how bad this was for the kid.
Right.
And, you know, I had grown very fond of him, too. I mean, he's my son.
Right.
And so we went back and forth on that. But if you want to hear about sabotage, when he would come to live with us, she would do everything she could to sabotage it.
Amazing.
See, and it was just a horror show. He didn't last a whole year living with us because she just really threw wrench after wrench at it. And she was an extremely permissive person and let the kid do whatever he wants. And, of course, that's enticing to a young person.
Right, right. It's always interesting to me, you know, in terms of what you've done, overall, I'd say you're one of the good guys, you know, and society would say, and these bitchy lesbians that I deal with in social services would describe you as having done the right thing. In other words, you know, you were surprised by the pregnancy. You weren't sure. The woman was telling you, get lost, screw you. But ultimately, you hung in. You paid money. A lot of guys blow that off. So you got a lawyer. You did the right thing with that. And then ultimately, you said, hey, I've got a son. You know, I'm not just going to forget that he exists. And you got married. You had another child. But you kept in touch with the first child. And you tried to make the best of it with, you know, seeing him and trying to be civil with his mother. And meanwhile, she is like bitch from hell, giving you a hard time at every possible turn.
And, you know, it's one of those deals, too, where you can't be reasonable with someone that's unreasonable. And
right.
Every time I tried to have a reasonable conversation with her, you can guess how it ended, with her yelling, screaming, and hanging up on me.
Right.
Like so, countless times.
Right. So you're sort of the target of all of her rage and all of her anger and every disappointment in her life. And this is what I've seen. I've told guys, you know, there's no man in the world that a woman hates as much as the man that she's had kids with. And so, you know, everything that she's pissed off about is absolutely definitely, you know, your fault. She's sure of that.
Yep,
so, I mean, it's a really shitty situation to be in with a woman.
And fast forward a little more, when he was just about to go into high school, things were very rocky for him in middle school. And I finally convinced her to let him come and live with us for his high school years.
Right.
And so, you know, we set up his room and did, you know, countless things to kind of get ready for him to come. And the week before he's to come, she pulls the chain on it and says no.
Right.
And
just to pull the rug out from under him again.
Yeah. And says if I come up to get him, she's going to call the police and try and get me nailed for kidnapping if I try and take him across state lines.
Oh, such a spiteful woman.
At this point, I tell her, like, look, this is it. Please don't call me. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Leave me the fuck alone. And the next week, she tries to sue me.
Right.
Now, what was she suing you for?
She tried to sue me for more back child support.
Yeah, of course. It's all about the bottom line.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Okay, so he goes through this now. Let me say a word to you, Jay, and this is really important. I really want you to talk about this. I mean, what you're describing is classic parental alienation, okay?
Yes.
And we see it now all the time. And you know, a lot of guys who have a child, which at this point you're talking about a high school child. A lot of guys that have a child that's in middle school or starting around high school, they'll say, look, thank God my kid's a teenager. He's getting older. He's more mature. Once he gets to be 18, he's out of his mother's clutches. I'll get to know him then. I hear that all the time.
Not
and I
so
tell
easy.
Guys that is bullshit. That is just not true, right?
Right.
So what happens?
Because of parental... So I hadn't heard that term until I heard you mention it on the show. I don't know how long ago. So it just sounded like exactly what I was living through. So I started researching it online. And like 90% of the traits that someone that's gone through that would have, he's got. It's so clear to me.
Well, God, can you imagine what his mother was saying to him when you weren't around?
Oh, please. And I know the kid feels terrible about it.
See, that gets me the worst. So here he is now, 26, and your relationship is still pretty tough?
Very kind of tentative. Like if I push too hard, then he backs off and like ghosts me for months, and then resurfaces. And the last time he resurfaced, which was recently, a few weeks ago, we had a really good visit. And you know, he's starting to see with some perspective as a young adult what he's gone through and what the deal is. And you know, some of the verbiage I've gotten from this show has really helped me talk to him to help him understand what he's experiencing in life and why.
Right.
I mean, again, a big thank you to you and Tom, because the information is so valuable for people preventing these kinds of disasters, as well as, you know, healing from them and dealing with them in an effective, kind of mature way.
Right. See, I guess that's the hope. People think that, you know, maybe I'll get a crack at him when he's an adult, and I'll kind of be able to undo the damage that she's done, you know?
I think it's possible, but I also think it's an uphill battle.
Yeah. Now tell me about that friend of yours. You said there was a guy that you were friendly with that had another crazy story.
Yeah, so one of my best friends growing up ended up going to med school, and when he was in residency, he met a nurse a couple years older than him.
How do you like that? There you go, right. Tom. That's the story there. Poor bastard.
She scoops him up, and, of course, she's a single mom.
Oh, single mom, of course. That's great.
And so, you know, next thing you know, she's wearing the pants, and they're having kids, too, so he ends up having two girls with her.
She's got to lock him in.
Yeah, and let me tell you, she was very, very good at spending his money in every way imaginable and controlling the shit out of him and the girls, to the point that now, you know, they're divorced and she's got the two girls hating him.
That's amazing.
It's
now, again,
just awful,
you know, when I was growing up, you know, my mother used to talk about this as kind of a Jewish thing, you know, about, you know, a woman should marry a doctor, you know.
Right.
And here you got this guy who's, like, obviously real successful. She met him, you know, as he was, you know, rising up and becoming an intern or whatever. But, I mean, you know, we have said so many times, and you see this with the movie star divorces, that no matter how successful the guy is, it's never enough. I mean, the woman is just never going to be happy no matter what the hell you do. And here, you know, classic, he marries a single mother, very stupid. And then, you know, to make sure she has two kids with him. And you were telling me something, and this is a classic. The child that's not his, the one that she already had, obviously he was the father to that kid, put the kid through college, right?
Oh, God, yeah, the whole nine yards.
Can you imagine? Again, so a man's cast-off progeny, here he is raising another man's child because he's in love with the mother, puts the kid, you know, through everything, gets him clothes, food, puts him through college, and now the kid, now that he's getting divorced from the mother, the kid won't talk to him at all, hates his guts, right?
Well, you know, less so her as much as his own child that's the oldest.
Oh, that's even greater.
It's awful. Like, she just is so spiteful and mean and blames everything on him because it's all coming from the mother.
Right.
And he's just going to be one of the greatest guys. You know, he's almost, like, too soft. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have the balls to say, fuck you. No way.
That's the real problem, you know. People don't even have perspective on this. In a way, as nutty as it is, when you're a man, if you truly love a woman, that's her chance to screw you over even worse. And these guys that are as you say, soft or whatever, here he's a kind guy, he's hardworking, you know, I imagine him, you know, he doesn't drink, he would never hit her in a million years, you know.
No,
he's doing all the right stuff.
Yeah.
And you still have this same level of spitefulness. And what guys don't even recognize, and this, you know, on the show, and, you know, Tom and I, we talk about relationships and so forth, but what guys don't even realize is how it permeates so much to the next generation. And you don't think of it this way. Guys don't think, you know, my own daughter is going to be raised to hate me, you know? Whatever the mother did, guys always say, oh, I love the hell out of my children. I love them to death. I didn't plan them, but I love them to death. But the reality is that these women are so spiteful and so nasty, and it obviously has to have an effect, that the children grow up confused, but as they become young adults, a lot of times the mother creates this kind of alliance thing where they have to be on her side against the father. And as the father, as you see, your kid's in his 20s, and, you know, you have a good visit with him, and then he doesn't talk to you for half a year.
Right.
I think it's a heartbreak to put in so much blood, sweat, and tears to a child, and even your friend that was married and everything, and you're looking at your daughter who's 16 or whatever, and it's not like teenage rebellion. You know, she just literally hates your guts because of what she's been told.
How unfair to the child and to everybody.
The thing is that the way our society is unstructured now, with, you know, women not wanting to be married, not wanting to have kids, you know, in a stable relationship with a man, this is, I think, the majority now. and more, you know, percentage of children being raised today are raised by single mothers and are raised under these circumstances.
And, well, I think a lot. I think a lot of men too, when they're hooking up with women, let alone marrying them, they're not also thinking, what kind of mother would she be to my kids if I had a kid with her?
Yeah. Guys always talk to me about how great her tits are, you know?
Right.
How
right.
tight her ass was.
It's how like, yeah.
Because we all believe she can't get pregnant.
Right.
I mean, I don't know, Tom. She's going to get pregnant, you know? Let's face it.
If she can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this is a tiger, and she's going to do what she needs to do. And this is not something that's accidental. This is obviously based on biology and evolution. It's the nature of women. But this alienation thing, and I was telling you, Jay, this is not even very officially recognized by the courts yet. It's kind of a new idea. But parental alienation syndrome, which is called PAS for short, is
yeah.
real. And it does exist, and it comes up a lot in family law. And I just got to tell the guys out there, I mean, what do you think, Jay? You got to be careful. You can't just be having kids with people.
Oh, my God. Take it from Tom. Take it from Adam. Take it from me. Like, don't do it. Don't roll the dice.
Yeah, the ramification of a couple of fucks is just not, it's not in proportions.
And it's just not. I mean, when you think about the incredibly low cost of a condom that would have prevented all that heartache, I mean, my God. Not to mention the thousands of dollars that it ended up costing me over 18 years.
Now, how did it end? This is the part that I'm not sure about here, because I think we rolled into another story about somebody else. But what was the end of this story? You stop paying on his 18th birthday or 21st birthday, or you're still paying. I don't know exactly how this ended.
Yeah, I mean, the way it ended, of course, was that you're in a kind of almost like a contractual agreement with the state as to how much you're going to pay and for how long. And for me, it ended right on his not right when he turned 18, but during his 18th year.
Right.
Right. And then did she try to fight you and get you to pay more, or...
She did when I basically
she
told
did?
Her to not to call me, not to. So I get a letter in the mail from the Department of Health and Human Services putting a lien on my house because they're going to sue me for back child support.
Right.
So I had to dredge the lawyer back up and go to court and fight it and say, no, you can't go back on the agreements that we've already signed, sealed, and delivered. And basically the department told her, you know, you can sue them, but you're probably not going to win. You're better off just, you know, getting what you got.
So again, I've been trying to follow this and follow all the ins and outs of it. How did you have back child support that you still owed? I wasn't really clear on that.
She was pulling that a little bit out of her rear end in that, so if I rewind way back, so the guy that she hooked up with when he was maybe, you know, 4 years old, she wanted to marry him and for him to be able to adopt a kid. And I said to them, look, I'll allow him to adopt the child because it seemed like they had a functional family going on, and he was actually a good guy and said, hey, you know, we want you to be a part as far as you're able to know him, he's able to know you. We're not going to ask for child support moving forward. We just want the right to adopt him. So we go to a hearing via my lawyer, and that's all signed, sealed, and delivered, that I had paid child support right up until that point. I wasn't going to have to pay moving forward. But then, of course, it gets crazy because 2 years later, they break up.
Of course.
And let me clarify something. And, Adam, I don't have kids, so I'm just guessing based on what other
God
people
bless you, Tom.
Like you have said. So they may have agreed to that.
Right.
The three people involved, the three adults here, may have agreed to that. But it's not binding, right? I mean, you can agree to it all you want, but if the couple breaks up, she can always come back and say, it doesn't matter what we agreed to. You owe me.
Well, I think they didn't conclude it. If the new guy, her new husband, had not broken up, or even if they did, but by then they had concluded the adoption, then it would be fine.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
But it sounds like it was pending, and then they broke up, and they didn't finish it.
He didn't adopt him, before he adopted him, they had already agreed to move forward without me paying child support,
and
that was legal.
Talk.
Right.
So you had back child support, not because you were a deadbeat. Let's point this out.
Not at all.
Not because you were a deadbeat, because you believed what these two people said. They were going to be a family with your child, and they were going to adopt your child, and they told you you're not going to have to pay anymore. And so based on what they said, you stopped paying. Later on, it became back child support, and I'm guessing you had to pay interest on that and some kind of penalty,
no,
too.
No. Listen to this. So when they break up and I find out, I, again, communicate with her about it, and I said, well, maybe what we need to do now is go for joint custody. And she basically again said, no way, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
I want full rights and full custody.
Right, of course.
I said, well, then the agreement that we have right now stands. If you want full rights and full custody and I can't even have a piece of that, then why would I pay you?
Right.
And at that point, she made the mistake of not taking me back to court, because I'm sure she would have got something.
Right. I think the killer of it all, in terms of how it ended, is that this is almost 30 years later. Your kid is 26, and this is something that he has to live with and carry, and you have to live with and carry, basically forevermore. That's what hurts.
Yes.
And I don't know what his relationships are like, but he's going to end up getting in with screwed up women and doing stupid things, I presume.
Well, guess who his girlfriend right now reminds me of?
No, I'm afraid to hear.
His mother.
Of course.
Of course.
And
of
it repeats. That's the hard part.
What happens?
She's in school to study and do the same thing the mother does, and she's a high school art teacher.
All I can say to the guys is, you know, pay attention. This is serious stuff. It does not end well, and this is just not the kind of thing you want in your life. And you
Amen.
Know, Jay, you sound like you're a pretty well-adjusted guy, and it's amazing that you had a 25-year marriage. I give you a lot of credit, and you have another couple of kids or whatever you did. But I don't think that you deserve this, and I don't think anyone should have to go through this nonsense. And
no, I totally agree.
I cannot understand, because I have women clients, you know, and I have clients that are like your ex there, your baby mama, whatever you want to call her.
Yeah.
And I talk to them and I say, why are you doing this? This is not a good thing. And they talk about how much they love their child. And I say, you know, this is going to hurt your child more than anyone. And if you say you love your child, they say, oh, he's the most important thing in my life, blah, blah. I say, then why would you do something that is going to have such a profoundly bad effect on him and is going to hurt him as an adult and is going to hurt him for the rest of his life? You know, because they want to get even with the ex-boyfriend, which I understand, but I say, even him, what the hell did he do to you? You had sex a couple of times. He didn't reject you. He didn't even talk to you for a year.
Right. And picture this. She's had probably 6 quasi-monogamous relationships during that time. And she has had an affair on all of them, and they've all left her.
Yeah, she's screwed up.
Yeah.
So she's never going to grow up. But what I'm just saying is the echo and the effect long-term of the pain that she's caused and all the negativeness that she's put out there, particularly on her child, is going to last and last. And that's really sad. And women are very inclined to behave this way. I don't know what it is, if it's natural, it's in their programming.
Because they can.
Oh, Tom, it's so much worse than that, man.
I don't think so. I think people do whatever they can get away with doing. And the we are enablers in this society. We encourage women to act this way.
I think the law enables it.
Women will be a lot more responsible if, first of all, if a man says, I don't want to be a father, and they go ahead and be one anyway, I guarantee you wouldn't have all these unwanted children being born. Women were told, you're going to do this on your own. So.
Right, so they didn't have cash and prizes, you know?
Right. We enable them.
If you look at morality, Tom, I mean, you know, you, let's say, if you could commit a murder and know that you'd get away with it, you probably wouldn't do it anyway. You know, because you're a moral person, you're not a murderer. Even if you could get away with it, you wouldn't do it.
Right, but murder is not to, you know, reaching into someone's bank account.
No, I understand.
It's
but
not the same.
I'm not even, the money part isn't even the thing that concerns me so much. I mean, the alienation to the kid where she damages the kid psychologically and his person, his self, his identity is so harmed. And the mother just thinks it's a big fucking joke.
Well, call me jaded or skeptical, but I honestly believe many of these children are born as living, breathing annuities for women.
Oh, man.
That are going to guarantee them income up into the kids' 20s.
Right.
And sometimes even beyond in some of these wacky cases. And, you know, obviously women are attention whores and they want the baby shower and they want the christening.
Oh, God.
And they want the announcements in the newspaper, all that stuff. But in the end, that child is an investment in the future. That's what it is.
Well, Jay, thanks for coming on. Did I miss anything?
I'm so glad I finally got a chance to feed the content kitty.
Thank you so much.
And to talk with both of you, Tom, I've really loved your show, and I love the segment with Adam, and I've been a P1 for over a year.
Nice.
All right.
Very nice. Yeah.
And I'll call back with updates. How about that?
Please
That's
do.
That's great. I think you shared some really intimate stuff, Jay, and I really appreciate it. Very kind of you.
Quite a story.
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys, and know I'll be listening.
A pleasure, Jay. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Wow.
That's
wow,
a heartbreak, Tom. That's
it
what
is.
It sounds like, man.
No doubt. And by the way, I wouldn't do half the things that guy did. He's a stand-up guy. You know, if someone came
isn't
to me
that
like
something,
that,
right?
If somebody came to me and said, guess what? I have your kid. You're going to step up to the line. I would tell them what I've said on the show a million times. I will do what I'm legally required to do.
You say the minimum.
I will do the legal minimum. Don't
All right,
ask
but
me
here,
for help.
So let me ask you, here's a stand-up guy, and what good did it do him?
Well, yeah, you're right. You're 100% right.
It didn't mean anything.
I wouldn't be a stand-up guy. I would say, okay, you have the legal right to take my money, and I'm going to give whatever the judge says to give, and I'm going to, obviously I'll have an attorney and make sure that it's reasonable and within the boundaries of the law, and whatever is decided, I will do it. But don't be telling me you need me to babysit the kid while you're going off to find your next baby daddy. Don't be telling me that you're going to need help with this or that, or you need me to come over and teach your kid how to play baseball. None of that's ever going to happen. There's not going to be a relationship.
Well, the actual thing is that you're correct. Even if you are a stand-up guy and you get involved and
right.
you want to love the kid,
right.
look what ends up happening. The kid ends up hating you, or the kid's all screwed up
right.
because of her.
By the way, kids ending up hating you is happening to people who stay together.
Ah, well, that's another story.
Right? I mean, this is a common problem.
Well, that might be unavoidable in some ways.
Well,
I'm not just talking about a rebellious teenager. Here, the mother programmed it to come out that way.
No doubt. And who knows? Maybe she grew up that way, and now she's programmed to repeat the process.
Sick.
That's how a lot of this stuff happens.
No thanks.
We're going to take a break here. Adam Sachs is here on our bonus hour. He's family law attorney Adam Sachs tonight. And by the way, we've got calls coming in. If you'd like to talk to Adam, this is free legal advice for you. All you have to do is call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. That's the number. 901-3000-TOM. Let's go, boys and girls. It's 901-3000-8-TOM. 6-6.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're here at 901-3000-TOM with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with family law attorney Adam Sachs. Free legal advice for you at 901-3000-TOM. Dial us now. 901-3000-866. Let's go to Tevin in La Quinta on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hello?
Is that a question or a statement?
it's a statement. Hello. How are you doing today, Tom?
Doing great, Tevin. What can I do for you?
What's up?
Well, I have a little situation here. In the past 2 years, I started dating, which is now my baby mother. For record, she's my baby mother. Her name is Michelle. We started dating, you know, we met online. That's where we met. We met online. We started talking, and at the time I was really iffy about relationships or talking to any woman in this area, because previous to that, I was put in jail by a woman who claimed I hit her.
You know,
I'm like one of the nicest guys in the world. I've never hit a woman. You know, I was raised by women, so putting my hand on a woman is nothing I'd ever do. So when I got put in jail for a week for that, it destroyed me, because I've never been in jail before, and like I just had total trust issues. So I let this girl in my life. Long story short, to me, I don't know why I didn't see this in what she was, the question she asked me, that she was baby hungry. She wanted a baby. She wanted a baby, and she was gunning for it as well. And stupid me, I went in and started dating her, and you know, for the first few weeks, you know, for the first few times we hung out, we used protection. And then she poses the question, hey, you know, would you like to do it unprotected? Long story short, she comes to me and she's like, hey, it's three months later. She's like, hey, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, you know, I wasn't expecting it because I don't know. I was just being dumb. That's point blank. Being stupid, having sex unprotected, she ended up getting pregnant, and I told her, are you ready for a child? Because I know I'm not ready. What do you want to do? She says, hey, you don't have to be in the kid's life. I have my family. They can help me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't need you. Okay, I'm going to be in my child's life, so let's try and make this work. So the relationship goes on, and the whole time it's like, she never gave me the position of the man in her life. She always had her dad, you know, she always went to her dad for everything, her dad and her mother. And that's what kind of like pushed me away, because she never treated me like the man in her life. Yeah, I was a father for, you know, to be child, and I went to all the doctor's appointments with her, but I still never had that place as the man. She always wanted to try and wear the pants as well. And I ended up moving in with her and her parents, and I told her from the beginning, this is not supposed to be permanent. We're paying rent. You know, we're going to have a baby, and, you know, I plan to move out. I don't want to
live with her. I'm sorry. Have you been a listener for a long time?
No. Have I been dealing with this for a long time?
No. I said, have you been a listener for a long time?
Oh, no, I have not. I just started like this past week. And
oh, okay. All right, just checking, yeah. Because you know what we say about moving in or having babies or all that stuff,
you're
right?
Making a lot of naughty mistakes here.
Yeah, no, I just recently heard, so I'm like, oh, I sound like an idiot. Yeah.
Well, go ahead. We want to hear your story. All right, so you moved in with her family?
Yeah, it was...
Why is a 27-year-old woman still living with her family?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why I asked the same thing myself repeatedly.
And why are you accepting her offer of unprotected sex?
You just wanted to have a baby.
Now, why is he accepting it?
I'm saying he wanted to have a baby.
Yeah, at the time I thought I wanted a baby, and then when she's like, I'm pregnant, and I was like, hey, I just, you know, I'm not ready.
I know, but you're just giving more and more of the control over to her.
Yeah.
And moving in with her family, jeez.
Yeah, that was the worst part.
That must
part,
have
huh?
been a joy.
No, the worst part is having a baby. That's the worst part. That's,
was she a single mother, by the way?
No, she wasn't. She was,
not yet.
No, yeah, she wasn't. No, she wasn't.
Okay. So how did it all end up?
Well, after a whole year, I can't take it anymore. Our relationship was deteriorated over the whole period of time.
Right.
It's to the point to where it's like now it's like I moved out because I can't take that no more. She doesn't want to leave. So it's like I have to do something for me and my son because I have to be happy for my son so I can do what's right for him.
Okay.
And she's still there with her parents, and she's telling me, she's like, oh, I'm not going to go to court on you and everything, but...
Right, not yet.
But, yeah, not yet, exactly. But she wants me to come over and at this time and do this and hang out with her at this time. And it's like, what happens if I don't do this stuff? You know what I mean? Are you going to go to court? I mean...
Son, you're heading to court, okay?
Uh-huh.
I mean, forget about this idea that you're going to go over there and try to keep her from taking you to court.
Right, keep her sweet.
Child support, she is legally entitled to take your money in terms of child support. That's the deal. You're going to end up in court. Someday, you're not going to do everything she tells you to do. She's going to want you to tap dance or whatever, and you don't do it. And then she's going, oh, I'm going to take you to court. But the reality is, she can take you to court today. She can take you to court 6 months from now. She can come back in 5 years and start scooping up money out of your couch. She could do that. All right. So, you know, the bottom line here is and this is not legal advice, this is me telling you, don't be trying to please her, okay? This relationship is dead, right?
Yeah, it is.
So you're not going to be going over there unless you want to. And even then, she might try to stop you, and then that's another issue for going to court.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, you're absolutely correct.
All right. So, I mean, what, you're going to believe that she's never going to take it to court, and therefore you'll never have to pay any child support? Is that what you believe?
Sort of. In the back, yeah. In the back, yeah.
It's a bit of wishful thinking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And by the way, if you can't afford to support a baby, why did you want to have one?
No, at the time, I could. I had two jobs. I was working. But recently, I lost my job because we had day child care for our son while we both were working all day. Her grandmother was watching him. So her grandmother goes
too.
Yeah, she was getting paid. I was paying her grandmother because I was working more hours.
Unbelievable.
And at the end of the day, she ups and leaves to Mexico, and I didn't get a forewarning, not a week warning, I didn't get any kind of forewarning.
Grandmother just split to Mexico.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, just on the 26th, they're like, hey, my grandma's going to Mexico, and this is on the 25th. And she's like, there's going to be no one to watch it. And I'm like, what do you mean? I just picked up a full schedule at the new job I just got.
What does she care, man?
She doesn't. She didn't care whatsoever. And that's why I actually, like that pushed me over the edge.
You
got to
understand that women are like children, man. You think that she understands real responsibilities and all this sort of thing? No way.
So, Adam, what would you do if you were this guy? I mean,
he's got to dig in and brace himself for some real issues. I mean, obviously, what's going to happen now is you're going to have issues of custody and visitation and child support, and you should take some initiative. You're not married to this woman, so it's not a regular divorce. It's a paternity case, but you've got to turn around and take the initiative and hire an attorney and start making sure that the groundwork is laid, that you have at least 50-50 custody, if not primary custody, of your child.
By the way, speaking of getting laid, have we ever done, and I'll bet I know the answer to this one, have we ever done a DNA test to make sure that you're kin?
Jesus, Tom.
Oh, God, no.
So you don't even know.
I mean, the kid, when he came out, he looked
he looks like
just,
me, yeah.
Don't you watch, wait. Don't you watch Maury? Don't you watch Maury? Come on. Do you realize?
Do.
You realize chicks frequently date guys who they like attracted to a certain type. Even if the kid looks like you, she may have dated three other guys who look like you. That proves nothing.
Yeah, really, dude. You can't fall for that. Okay, that's too much.
Okay.
Usually, there's some loser, gangbanger, cholo, something out there who's in prison and can't pay the child support. There was, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they brought all the previous guys were losers.
Come on. This is what I'm trying to tell you, son.
Oh, God, no. Man.
Listen, that's not the first thing that came to my mind, but Tom is absolutely right, you know? I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt on the girl, you know?
Not me.
But
I watch Maury every day on those jaded, cynical
person.
That's
your favorite show, right?
You know what? It is my favorite show, and I'm not ashamed to say, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, I watch the Maury show, and I know
and
how this stuff
is. You know what she does? When I tell her I want to get a DNA test, she says, I'm gonna tell your son you wanted a DNA test. She tries to make me feel bad about it.
That's a bad sign,
bro. My response to that would be, well, I'm gonna tell our son what a slut you were before you met me.
Oh man.
Oh no. Okay.
You have to deal with that as a possibility.
You fight fire with fire.
These are issues. I mean, why should you be paying child support at all if it's somebody else's kid?
Right.
All right. Well, okay. So one of the things you got to do, along with hiring an attorney, is set up a proper DNA test.
Okay.
It's not invasive like it used to be. So it's something that you could do theoretically without her even knowing.
They sell those DNA kits on the Maury show.
Yeah. You can do a swab in the child's mouth with a cotton Q-tip. And so it's not like, blood or anything like that.
Yeah,
the kid's not going to cry. It's not going to be a big deal. And then you mail it away and you get the results in a few days. But that's something you need to do, because if you take care of the kid for a certain number of years, basically 2 years, and then you find out later it's not yours, you could still be on the hook for a kid that's not yours.
Oh, so no.
You can't be stupid about
that. Yeah.
But
my
bigger concern, you know, assuming it is your kid, and it sounds like you were with her at least for a while, is that you really should think about the future of her giving you a hard time, like I said. And you've got to establish yourself as the parent and make sure that you've got proper custody orders and visitation and everything else. And Tom is right about one thing. She's going to come after you for child support. And as your attorney, I'll try to minimize that. But there's no way you're going to get away with zero. And let me tell you, it's pretty depressing when you get your paycheck and you see a nice garnishment coming out of it every 2 weeks or whatever it is.
Yeah. I've had that before, and it's not the funnest.
And that garnish is not parsley, by the way. I want you to know. This is a different kind of garnish.
Different kind of garnish, Tom. That's right. He's right about that. Parsley is the good kind of garnish.
Yes.
This is the kind of garnish you don't want to have. But
all right.
I'm glad you're able to laugh about it, and you got to deal with it. I don't know what you know how you made some of these decisions. I mean, what would you say to younger guys who were listening to this? And you know, what's your message to them? With this woman's telling you, you know, take off the condom, let's have a baby. I mean, why didn't you say to her, are you fucking kidding? I mean, you obviously didn't have a house, right? You didn't have a place to live. You weren't really stable in your occupation.
Can't afford to support a baby.
Yeah, a baby's expensive, man.
Right.
What were you doing? I mean, why did that appeal?
No,
but I understand, but like, how did she talk you into that? It's unbelievable.
I don't know. I guess it's the idea of because when I was younger, my dad left, you know, and I was really close with him, and he just like up and left, and then years later, it turns out he has another son, and he doesn't, and like in the whole period of time of his absence, he doesn't call. Or message or nothing.
So to fix that, you would create new children that you can't afford to take care of with somebody who doesn't have your own best interest at heart? That would fix everything?
I mean, honestly, I'm sorry about your dad, and that's a lousy thing to have happened to
lousy.
You. And I'm not saying it's right or anything, but to kind of create a new version of that, I don't know, man.
And that's what my thinking was. My thinking was, have a son, so you don't have to, I mean, you don't do that. You know what I mean? I mean, that will fill that need. I don't know. It was, I don't know. I felt like I needed to have a son to feel like a man. You know what I mean? I felt like I needed a child.
You know what? I need to be rich to feel like a man.
But yeah, that's what my thinking was, that a man is someone who takes care of their child and who's always there. And because, you know, I was
a man is someone who takes care of the child, the children that have been born. Okay. A man, it doesn't make you a man to create more children that you can't afford to have. That doesn't make you a man.
It makes you a crazy man.
Yeah. Just a little bit of that too.
And how is that an advantage to a kid, you know? I mean, people who have kids should be able to afford to feed them and clothe them and house them and educate them. Okay. If you can't afford to do that, a man does all those things, and you don't, at least at this point in your life, and you're a young guy, you're not ready for that yet. You don't have that ability right now.
I try.
I understand that, and it's very nice that you try, just like if you tried to climb Mount Everest. Very nice that you made the effort. You're probably not going to make it all the way up.
Oh, God.
True.
All right. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to get you in touch with Adam.
Yeah, we'll talk later.
And we're going to move this along here so you can hopefully get a good outcome, or the best outcome you can hope for under the circumstances, Tevin. So hang on. Dean is going to set that up. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and tell you how you can get in touch with Adam yourself. Don't go anywhere.
The entire Tom Likas experience in your pants.
Get the app now.
1-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. Our bonus hour. Family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll free. 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook and also the World Wide Web, www.adamlawyer.com. And it's great to send me email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
There you go. Adam will be back again for our bonus hour coming up next Tuesday, and that's going to be at 6 Pacific Time, 9 Eastern Time.
Free at TomEverywhere.com. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Another one of these studies. This one says couples who divvy up household chores have the best sex lives.
Couples who are not couples have the best sex lives.
Well, that's a good point.
Sure, you take care of yours, I'll take care of mine.
But this is a couples study.
Right, well. So in other words, what they're saying is if you do what she tells you to do, everything's going to be okay.
I suppose. Is that divvying it up or is that her telling you what to do?
Right.
Well, it is her telling you what to do.
Because this implies that it's a split thing.
The way I look at it is she was the one who insisted on moving in. And so you must have looked at my place, looked at me and said, that's where I want to be. So you don't have any right to complain about it once you move in. You can leave or you can stay. But, yeah, better sex life. Don't fucking threaten me with the sex life. You guys have known me for a long time. If my sex life wasn't what I wanted it to be, I went out and did something about it, whether they were out the door or not.
Well, yes. Saw that.
Yep.
The conventional split is the woman does 65% or more of the housework. The egalitarian setup is the male partner performs 35 to 65% of the housework. And the counter-conventional, the man performs 65% or more of the housework.
Probably pays 65% of the rent, too.
Right.
You know, I love how they measure it in housework. They don't measure it in gifts for Valentine's Day, birthday gifts, dinners out, vacations, who pays the plane fare when you're going to Mexico or Hawaii. They don't ever measure any, none of it. There is never a survey about that.
Nope,
never.
Nope.
I just realized we know a counter-conventional dude whose wife works at a production company and is part of a very successful reality show that's on TV, and he's one of those stay-at-home dads, so he mm-hmm. does like 100% of the housework, and she pays for everything, but that is the exception to the rule.
Right.
But he runs around, takes the kids all over the place. You got to see this dude on Facebook.
By the way, the difference is like 0.5 times more per month that these other couples have sex.
So a half a sex act?
Half a sex act a month.
With each other.
This is just ridiculous. A Secret Service officer tells, apparently, how Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky are actually banging on the desk in the Oval Office.
Right, because that would go against, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. It sounds like this Secret Service agent is saying that, oh no, they did.
Yes, they did.
I mean, I don't fault
Billy?
I don't at all.
No, he's the king, dude. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, she might have been even chunky at the time, but she was like a go-to all the time.
Right. An Orlando karate teacher allegedly told an 11-year-old boy in her class that she wanted to have sex with him and sent him nude photos.
Oh, man.
Did the 11-year-old know what she was talking about?
She apparently said that he wanted to touch his dick.
Man.
And he told the cops that, too.
Yeah, the child's mother is the one who called the cops after, again, discovering obscene text messages.
Now that you know the dick touching is going to stop once you start talking to the cops.
I want to have sex with you, she said.
Nice. They go in younger and younger now.
By the way, the best is that he did say the exact words to the cops. She said she wanted to touch my dick.
Right.
That's what this kid said.
I know. I don't make those things up. You think I just came up with that?
Well, I just like to verify everything.
That's what
I was
it says
looking
right
through.
There.
And basically, she also allegedly wrote to him saying, I want to have sex with you.
Right.
Saying it was her 21st birthday and no one would be home.
She's ready to go. Bring in the 11-year-old.
Man, I can't imagine my karate instructor, Mr. Kim, saying that shit to me.
Plenty more news for guys.com.
A boy named Kim. You never know what he might have said.
Of course, you can find our show, GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Man, I can't imagine my karate instructor, Mr. Kim, saying that shit to me.